Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Let's groove tonight. Put on your galoshes. You remember what galoshes are? Dave, did you ever have galoshes?
Sure, I had galoshes. I had galoshes. The ones with the clips on them.
What do you mean?
Well, they had like...
They attached to your pants?
No. To close them. They were like those...
Buckles.
Garters? Yeah, buckles.
Yeah, those are garters. Dave.
Clips. Okay. Good galosh clips.
Okay.
When buckles, Dave.
All right, it's been a while since I wore galoshes.
Clips to your socks or your underwear, those are called garters.
Yeah. What she said. My grandmother called them rubbers. This is where it gets awkward.
Oh, yeah, we called them.
Well, those were the low top.
Don't go outside without your rubbers.
Just like we call flip-flops thongs.
Yeah. Still getting high school, too.
You're listening to old people reminiscing.
Talk about rubber footwear.
No kidding.
6:13 coming up on the program. Coach Q later. We have tickets for Steve Martin and Martin Short. Leslie Munger will be on. She is the new
deputy governor.
And I will ask her why we need one. I like Leslie a lot.
It's a great question. We have a lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
Why do we need a deputy governor?
I think the government's better with her in it.
But, oh, I agree.
I don't know what she does, so we'll ask. Coach Q, did I mention it? Yeah. And Kid of the Week coming up here this hour. Let's do the top six at six.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
All right, now before we go any further, we have to decide which crumpled paper we're going to use in between each item. The idea being, after I finish a story, I crumple it up and I throw it away.
Right, because there was some confusion yesterday. Dave thought it sounded like a potato chip.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what that is. It's paper crumpled.
It's crumpled paper, okay. Right? All right, so we're going to group decide here. Mike Jacobson, you've been spending the last 24 hours crumpling paper. Do you have a couple of examples of things you think might work?
It was actually 36 hours.
Is
I went overtime,
right?
Yeah. And just to kind of set the stage, this was the original sounder.
Okay.
Where I could see where it gets confused, where it does maybe sound like a bag of chips or chewing on chips. Right, here it is.
Yeah, it also sort of sounds like some sort of electrical short in my galoshes.
Or heavy rain.
Maybe an animal of some sort.
An animal,
like
possibly?
Rain.
Yeah. Yeah, it does sound like rain.
By the way, what weird weather last night.
Yeah,
oh my
completely
gosh.
Weird, foggy.
It's February 7th.
Really loud.
It's February 7th, and we got monsoon rains?
We also had a little bit of a lightning show this morning.
Yeah, bizarre. Thunder. All right, so item number one. Give me example number one. What type of paper is this?
So I went into my, sound dungeon. In the bottom left corner of the seventh floor there. Uh-huh. And this is college-ruled paper.
College-ruled paper. Let's listen.
College-ruled paper.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
That's like bunching it up, though. That doesn't sound like ripping.
That's supposed to be.
Well, how do you...
No, it's supposed to be crumpled.
Oh, it's not.
How do you crumple your paper?
No, she thought we were ripping.
I thought we were ripping.
No, we're supposed to crumple. I like that. That's strong.
This is real time.
Right.
So that kind of sounds like
that's
that.
Good.
That's that's similar crumple. What else? Our second example?
It's your standard copy paper that you
copy
get out
paper.
Of.
Copy paper. Got it.
Letter size, not legal. We're going letter. So you don't want to make it excessive.
8 by 11.
Okay.
That's a lot of crumpling.
That's really
though.
Thick. It's too thick.
It's a
oh,
lot
just
of
wait, Mary. This is construction paper that I was able to find.
Construction paper.
This was on Lou Manfredini's desk.
All right.
I can vouch for that. He's got a lot of that paper.
That one's not bad. I'm torn between college ruled and construction.
Got two more.
Oh,
two
more.
This is from a calendar also on Lou's desk. I believe it was May.
Oh, okay.
This is from May of 2016.
Nah, it sounds like you're unwrapping a sandwich.
Yeah,
it,
or eating.
Or a
eating
Christmas
paper.
Present.
And then this was a
doesn't everything sound like eating to you, Steve?
Kind of, yeah.
And then this was a FedEx box that I happened to find in the sports office labeled to Dave Bennett. So this one was a little bit tougher because it's thick. It's a FedEx box.
Okay, if it's labeled to me.
Dave, we're trying to get something done for the show.
Dave,
we went through as much of your mail as possible. We're trying to get something done for the show.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
God, it sounds like something being eaten.
Sounds like Dave shuffling animal. Around a room with boxes in it.
Yeah.
What about right. newspaper?
No, we're not going to do more examples.
Oh.
College ruled, or what was the third one?
The third one was the calendar off of Lou's desk.
All right, you guys tell me. Here's college ruled again. Can we have that one? That's pretty good. And here is calendar.
Yeah.
Calendar.
Little cardboard calendar off of Lou's desk, May 2016.
I like calendar.
What happened to the copy
paper? I like the very first one that we did.
Oh, you like College Ruled?
I do.
Dave, you got College Ruled or calendar?
I like College Ruled, too.
Yeah, College Ruled?
That sounded good.
Vanderbilt?
I want to hear the copy again.
No, we're not going to. No, I've already narrowed it down to
all
two.
All right, fine. College Ruled. Fine.
College Ruled. All right, Kim, you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. How wide ruled?
I like the calendar.
Do you?
I do.
That's great.
Tell
you what, on the seventh floor, get another show. President Trump says the media intentionally doesn't cover all terrorist attacks. This may be, of all the things he said in the first 19 days, this may be the most ridiculous.
If you could have had a little camera in my apartment last night
watching me watch him say that
the media doesn't cover. Are you kidding me?
Doesn't cover all terrorist attacks. Now, where could something like this come from? Well, it turns out that President Trump is an aficionado, a fanboy, if you will, of something called InfoWars. And Alex Jones, who is a conspiracy theorist who makes the worst days of the Globe newspaper look legitimate, it is frightening that he would believe anything that comes off that site. I'm going to give you a few headlines from InfoWars a little bit later on. This is deadly serious stuff. This is ridiculously serious stuff. And the continuing diminishing of the media, the fact that he would say this is one thing. The fact that he believes this is extremely troubling.
I think he's just saying things to say things now, and now not believing anything that he says.
I wouldn't give him credit for any strategy at this point. Yeah. But if you watch 10 seconds of cable news and regular news, of course they're in Orlando. Of course you're in Brussels. Of course you're in Paris. Of course you're wherever these things go on. And conversely, last week when you had a white guy, important part of the story, a white guy in Canada go nuts and kill someone in Canada at this Quebec mosque, the president hasn't said a word about it.
No. Mm-mm. And think of this. How does everybody know about all of this? Oh, the media. How do we know about Pulse and Nice and Paris?
It's the only reason.
Keep going on and on.
It's the only reason.
Ridiculous.
Last night, Sean Spicer, or was it Melissa McCarthy, released a list of, I forgot. Hit me with a paper. There we go. Nicely done. Sean Spicer released a list of terrorist activities not covered by the media. That list, officially from the White House, included Paris, Brussels, Orlando, and more. What do you even say to that?
Literally.
It's so patently ridiculous. What words would apply?
He's rendered the media speechless a lot lately.
Well, maybe that's the goal. The White House, boy, what an awkward time to go through puberty. A White House aide has revealed, in a lighter note here, the three staples of the Trump diet. Of all the leaks that have come out of the White House, this one is interesting. The White House aide reveals the three staples of the Trump diet. We don't know what the rotation here, but the president prefers the following. Domino's, KFC, and McDonald's.
Oh.
Which would make him, at 70, not so healthy, but at 50, it wouldn't be so healthy. At 30, it wouldn't be so healthy if that's all you ate. I don't think that's all he eats, but those are in the rotation regularly during the week.
The staples, yeah.
Domino's, KFC, and McDonald's.
A lot of cholesterol going on there.
Next! The Democrats are throwing a tantrum in the Senate right now. They're in the middle of 24 hours of speeches trying to get Education Secretary nominee Betsy DeVos. They need one more Republican, and they want Betsy DeVos not confirmed as the Education Secretary. She's, of course, the woman that said that grizzlies
would come
into the classroom,
yeah.
Possibly.
So that's why they need to arm the classrooms.
That was one of her concerns, right. And she's big on charter schools, which, you know, there's merits for charter schools. There's arguments against charter schools. But the entire situation today comes down to the fact that Mike Pence can go to the Senate and as president of the Senate cast a tie-breaking vote unless this 24-hour marathon gets the Democrats one more Republican to cross over and vote with them. And then she's out.
I don't see that happening. Do you?
I do not. You know what I see happening? Crumple more paper.
Yes.
You're not going to believe the with Valentine's Day coming up, there's a new survey out. You know, we love surveys. There's a new survey out that lists America's most romantic cities.
Oh.
Chicago's on the list.
What number?
24, I believe.
Oh, see? Really? We're a romantic city.
You're not going to believe what number one is.
New York.
East St. Louis.
No. No.
Omaha?
Anchorage.
Back it up to Omaha.
Really?
It's close.
Is Omaha number two?
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
No.
Yeah.
Where the West comes.
And by the way, this is not some made up. So this is Open Table. Open Table, the biggest restaurant reservation site in the world. Open Table says Oklahoma City is the most romantic city in the world.
Is it based on just people going out, the number of times they go out, or like the romantic restaurants that they go to in Oklahoma?
You know, I'm too busy following Alex Jones on InfoWars to have this criteria right now for you. So we'll pull that later on. And finally, the world's oldest aquarium fish has passed away at the Shedd Aquarium. Over 100 years old, lived in an aquarium since the early 30s, and passed away yesterday.
Poor thing.
Because of the stress over the Trump
granddad, they called him.
Lived a long and happy life at the Shedd.
Right, right. Until this administration finally killed him. I have a couple of Alex Jones headlines for you. And this is why I'm concerned that the president would follow this guy. This is from his InfoWars site. This is one of these conspiracy theorists at the highest level. Yeah, he's one of the 9/11 truthers. And this is one of the most, if you've ever been to Ground Zero in New York and you've seen the 9/11 truthers standing outside, originally the smoking pile, but now outside the museums and things, screaming about how the government took down the buildings. If you're clear-headed, you have two thoughts. One, you'd like to kill them. But secondarily, when you come to your senses and you just take a deep breath, you go, this is why America's great. Because even here at this sacred site, this fool can spout their views.
True. You know what he reminds me of, though? The National Enquirer. It reminds me of tabloid news.
The National Enquirer has more legitimate news than this. I would go to the Globe
or
the Weekly World News. But this guy, Alex Jones, who apparently is being followed closely by President Trump. You may remember Don Jr. did Alex Jones' radio show. And Don Jr., I believe it was Don Jr., it may have been Eric, asked for media credentials, regular White House credentials for this guy, Alex Jones. Here's one of his headlines. The government is creating gay people. This is a quote. I have the government documents where they said they're going to encourage homosexuality so people don't have children anymore. The key, he said, is an estrogen mimicking material hidden in juice boxes. After you're done drinking your little juices, you're ready to go out there and have a baby. But these juices apparently will somehow make you more interested in people of your own sex, so you wouldn't be able to have the baby.
Oh.
So in other words, it makes a lot of sense.
Who knew, right? All the, you know, high C and...
Yes, yes, yes.
Apple juice.
The government has weather with... By the way, this is all government stuff. This is all the government's out to kill you and your family. The government has weather wizards that are creating tornadoes.
Yeah.
Claim the Air Force was the actual cause of a reported tornado in Texas that killed 30 people in one night.
That's where Skilling's been. He was awfully yesterday.
He was creating tornadoes. And let me say, I've got a few more here for you. This is all, again, from the lunatic that the president is said to have followed. And specifically, the media isn't covering terrorist activities. That's an Alex Jones theory. That's one of his... Remember, play this. This is from MacDill Air Force Base yesterday in Tampa. President speaking to troops. This is where this started.
ISIS is on a campaign of genocide, committing atrocities across the world. Radical Islamic terrorists are determined to strike our homeland, as they did on 9/11, as they did from Boston to Orlando to San Bernardino, and all across Europe. You've seen what happened in Paris and Nice. All over Europe, it's happening. It's gotten to a point where it's not even being reported. And in many cases, the very, very dishonest press doesn't want to report it. They have their reasons, and you understand that.
No, that's a regular Trump move, by the way. Say something ridiculous and then go, you know what I'm talking about. Because you put somebody in a position of going, okay. I don't, but okay. When he said this yesterday, It was 2 or 3 hours later that the White House produced this hackneyed list of 78 terrorist attacks that weren't covered. Again, including Paris, Brussels, and Orlando. Three places, just three off the top of my head, where the news networks spent days covering it live.
Are you kidding me? Every hour.
It was all the only thing on the news.
Someone wall-to-wall coverage. And by the way, didn't he start out the sentence with, you've seen the report, you've seen this. Yes, how? Through the media.
Right. If the media didn't exist, you wouldn't even know about it. This is another Alex Jones headline story. Hillary Clinton is a witch responsible for the Dallas shootings. Hillary Clinton engages in, I don't even know what you'd call it, witch behavior.
Witchcraft.
There you go. Thank you. Somehow was responsible for creating the shootings in Dallas last year.
All tabloid fodder.
Antonin Scalia, the Supreme Court justice, was murdered. No, it wasn't. Orlando, Sandy Hook, Boston, and Brussels were false flags. False flags are things the government creates to therefore start either a race war or a civil war in the country. The point of all of this is this lunatic, Alex Jones, is somebody not to be followed. He's somebody, in the words of the great philosopher David Letterman, somebody to be shunned, somebody to be stiff-armed. This is not someone who should have access to anything related to the White House or the president. This is somebody who should be standing outside and yelling at the top of their lungs when the voices in their heads get loudest. And you feel badly for them. You feel badly for them because they're so misguided. There's nothing to back up anything Alex Jones or InfoWars said. And honestly, if you're at a point in your life where you're ready to believe InfoWars over CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, Fox, WGN News, I really think you need to talk to somebody for the greater good of you and your family and others. Because if there was, you have to back this up one more step and go, what would the reason be for any news organization to not cover a news story?
It's absolutely maddening. He put one up this morning. I just Googled it when you were going to talk about this. Lady Gaga turns halftime show into satanic ritual.
That's this morning.
Yeah, I think that's all you need to hear.
Well, if you saw the halftime show, I'm sure you saw the satanic ritual then, I guess. It's outrageous. And this person is said to have the president's ear. It's 6:33. We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Time once again for the All-State Kid of the Week. Remember, you can nominate a Kid of the Week, and you should. Kids doing great things, kids you think we should know about, kids you may know, kids you may not know, but you don't want us to miss out on. Nominate a kid for All-State Kid of the Week. Could be featured here on the program. Win good stuff. Giving away these Amazon gift cards, Lou Malnati's pizza. Go to WGNradio.com/contest and submit an entry for a kid between 9 and 18 that you think ought to be Kid of the Week. And then tune in every Tuesday at this time for the All-State Kid of the Week. Were you ready to meet to this week's Kid of the Week?
Let's do it.
Let's go to the phone now where Ivan's standing by. Good morning, Ivan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. Ivan Deckert?
Yes.
And Ivan, you go to Glenbard South?
Yes.
And when we got the solicitation on why you should be Kid of the Week, you're participating in youth groups, you volunteer for junior high kids and middle school kids, and spend your time in a positive way to influence other youth. All right, Ivan, sell me on you. What are you doing for kids?
Yeah, pretty much just that. Like, if I have free time or something, if there's someone who wants to do something, I'll go and do stuff with them. Or, like, if there's a kid who has problems or something, I'll just talk to them or, like, you know, just give up my time for them.
So you're a mentor and a good listener?
Yes.
All right, Andrea, you're a witness.
All right, I want to know what it's like being a mentor. I mean, kids now are looking up to you
Did you have a mentor in middle school?
Yeah, I think I had a couple in high school.
Did you have a mentor? You were the mentee, they were the mentor.
I think we did have a couple, yeah.
Okay.
Not like Ivan.
The people that talk to Ivan, they're going to remember him their whole life. You don't remember your mentor's name.
Yeah, I can. But so I'm a lot older than Ivan, though, so he's got to cut me some slack. But what's it like being the mentor to others now?
Honestly, it kind of feels good. Like there's someone who can like they can trust and talk to, and then like obviously it's hard because there's some things that like they go through and talk to you. But at the same time, it's just like you're there for them, and you make them feel like you make them feel like there's someone out there for you.
Sure.
And so it just makes them like it makes my day when it makes them happy.
If a kid comes to you, a younger kid comes to you, and there's something serious going on that you think a teacher or their parents should be told about, what do you do then?
I would probably go to someone close. So I'd probably start with like a teacher if it's like school related, but if mm-hmm. it's like out of school, I'd probably talk to like their parents or something.
Right. And try to encourage the kid to go with you, that type of thing, maybe, unless it was something the kid shouldn't be involved in, I guess. I mean, yeah. You're the mentor. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, Ivan. I don't know what I'm talking about. Where do you find these kids? I mean, these are just groups that you volunteer for?
Yeah.
Okay. And you hear about them in social media or what?
I mean, like, I don't know. It just depends on what, like, there's been multiple times when, like, it'll just be, like, I'll be, like, talking to them, and then they'll just, like, start coming out and stuff. So it's just, like, it just depends on where I am
just
or
being
what
a friend.
I'm doing.
Yeah. Just being a friend.
Yeah. And it
being
could be
an
anything.
Older kid, a friend, and a listener.
And it could be anything, right? Playing video games, maybe doing some shopping, whatever. Hanging out.
Hanging out and talking.
Yeah.
I don't know if Ivan's much of a shopper. Ivan, are you a shopper?
Oh, I love shopping.
Oh, you do?
See?
Okay.
There you go.
Should have been here, Ivan. I would have given you money. Ivan Decker, now you're a junior or senior?
Junior.
Oh, it's your big year. How are your grades?
A lot better than the past 2 years, so that's good.
You got to crank it out this year, dude.
Yeah, I know.
This is the year. And when do you take your tests?
I think it's in April.
And most of it's SAT now, right? Not so much ACT?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I got on my SAT? A million.
No, you didn't.
Got a million on both. I got a million on English and a million on math. I didn't get a million?
Okay, Sean Spicer.
I didn't get a million?
No, I don't think so.
I think I got six. Did I get six?
You might have gotten six. That sounds more in line.
That's how you get into show business. Where do you want to go to college? Any idea?
No, not yet.
Yeah, we don't have to pick yet. And what do you think you want to do with your life?
Right now I'm looking at special education to work with kids who have like mental disabilities.
Well, that's great. You know, my daughter works with kids with autism every day, and it's incredibly rewarding. Takes a lot of patience, dude, but it sounds like you have that.
Yeah.
All right, Ivan, nice to meet you. Hold the line. We have Kid of the Week stuff for you. As previously mentioned, let's get him some pizza. Lou Malnati's Pizza. Let's get him an Amazon gift card. And let's remind you to nominate a Kid of the Week for the Allstate Kid of the Week. A kid between 9 and 18, again, you can simply do that by going to the WGNRadio.com website and go WGNRadio.com/contest to submit an entry. Dave, did you have a mentor? Was it Abraham Lincoln?
Well, no, I never really was fortunate enough to meet him, Steve.
Well, you lived in Washington. That's why I wondered.
Yes.
Did you have a mentor when you were a kid? Did you have someone? I'd say, because I don't know that I did.
I'm not sure I did.
I mean, coaches. You could talk to coaches.
Yeah.
But in the era that you and I grew up, when you talked to coaches, they'd go, "You done now? All right, quit being a baby. Get back out there."
Yeah, we had teachers.
Yeah, teachers.
And counselors and, you know, guidance counselors.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that. Malcolm Head. Mr. Head.
Really?
Yeah. God bless him. I can't imagine he's still with us.
This
is a guidance counselor in high school who was there for me. He listened to me. A fabulous guy.
I had, and you know what?
And an old hippie.
My two counselors, Mrs. Bibzak and Mrs. Magnuson, still listen to this show every day.
God bless them.
Every day. She'll text me on certain things. She usually agrees with pretty much everything you say, too, which is
God bless
her a cool mentor.
More.
Yeah.
But Mr. Head was my guy. You know, always there for me. And like I said, an old hippie. So, you know, it's just, I don't know what he was doing in his personal time, but he was great with me.
You know, it was fascinating to watch you at the inauguration with Barack Obama. You guys seem to get along, all right? Would that be accurate?
It's a very strange phenomena. We get along. I don't know if he'll admit this, but he likes me.
How do you know he likes
I like
you?
Him because I can feel it. You know, that's what I do in life. It's called, like, I understand.
It just gets more frightening every day. 6:56, Steve Cochran Show continues. One of the things I mentioned at the top of the show was this survey from Open Table, because a lot of you may be using Open Table for your Valentine's Day reservations. I use Open Table all the time. You ever use Open Table?
I use them all the time. In fact, I made a couple reservations this week for Restaurant Week on Open Table.
I mean, Open Table is flawless.
Yep.
Did you have an Open Table problem?
No, not a problem. I used Open Table for my sister's family birthday on Saturday.
Yeah,
I got in Japan, and then I used it today for her actual birthdays today.
It's one of those things. It's only been around for, I don't know, 5 years.
But Open Table has been going at me hard, saying, make your Valentine's Day reservation, make your Valentine's Day reservation. I'm going to be in Mexico, so I'm not going to make a reservation, but they like keep, and the nice thing they do now.
What are you ordering, room service?
yes. Okay. They, their app is tied to, you know, like the traffic thing on your phone, so it'll say, hey, you better leave for Rana, Japan now because if it's going to be 36 minutes. Like, it just tells you. The app just gives
you.
Yeah.
I like
that,
too. I like if you say 6 o'clock and then they say no, but these are the options for the next few days.
That's I mean, you can put in, here's the date, here's what I want, here's, you know, how many people are in. You don't have to go one restaurant at a time, but give you a list of what's available and bang, you're done.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
At any rate, Open Table's list of the 25 most romantic cities is out. Those cities in reverse order: Lexington, Kentucky; Chicago, Illinois. Anybody ever been to Chicago?
Mm-hmm. You've heard of it.
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Boy, that is the city that would come first to mind.
Actually, Greensboro's pretty. It's nice.
I hear it's great.
Have you been?
I hear it's great. I've not been.
Yeah, it's nice. Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I've been to Tulsa.
As have I.
Yeah, I.
Austin, Texas. Very cool town.
Great town.
Love Austin.
Yeah. I think it's more of a hookup place than romantic.
Austin?
Yeah.
Let's not go to what you did there. Let's talk about what is a really good one. Savannah, Georgia. Beautiful.
I've been there, yeah.
Beautiful
awesome.
City.
Gorgeous.
Louisville. I like Louisville. Louisville's a cool town.
I do, too.
Yeah. Memphis, Tennessee.
Love Memphis. Oh, I like Memphis. Beale
Street. Who wants to be romantic over barbecue?
And Graceland.
My stomach would hurt.
Beale Street's awesome.
But you get wet naps when you get to Memphis right at the city line.
That's right.
Greenville, South Carolina. It's a good little town. Fort Worth, Texas.
I'm not a huge fan of Fort Worth.
Well, the Dallas Metroplex is all just one sprawling Texas kind of thing.
Right.
Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Made the list.
Love Madison.
Yeah.
Annapolis, Maryland. Beautiful town. San Antonio. Great town.
Love San Antonio.
Baltimore, Maryland. Baltimore is a good city.
You can't like every city on this list. I feel like this is too positive from you.
I'm being too positive?
Yeah. Everyone you're saying is great.
Well, I've been to a lot of these places.
There's been
like
some
Memphis,
telling
though.
Silence about a couple of them.
Okay. You could tell you're reading a body language thing that I'm
Colorado noticed. Springs. Beautiful.
Well, they're beautiful, but is it romantic?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. The boulders. Is it the boulders in Colorado? I think it is. Colorado Springs, yes. It's
there are Colorado. Boulders there, yes.
Boulders in the golf courses, too.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, let's also
you know the best
know
thing about St. Louis is Amy Cochran was born there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say leaving it.
No, I like St. Louis. St. Louis is fine. Omaha, Nebraska. Now, I've never been to Omaha.
I have.
Do you think romance when you think Omaha?
Not really.
Again,
nice town, but...
Again, are they judging it by how often you go out to eat or, like, the number of romantic restaurants that are there?
I don't know. We'll have to get to the end of this so I can give you the criteria. Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. What?
What do you mean, oh, yeah?
Hey, what happened to you there?
Yeah, exactly. Big night in Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah.
Newport, Rhode Island, Virginia Beach, both of those.
Well, this is kind of dumb because any city could be romantic. It depends on who you're with. Anywhere you go, you can find a good restaurant.
This is hardcore science.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, the farthest west is, what is that, New Mexico, it looks like. But the number one most romantic city is Oklahoma City.
I'll be a fool for you, I'm sure. You know I don't mind.
Shall we make an Open Table reservation at Oklahoma City?
See, New York wasn't even on there, and I think New York is very romantic.
I love New York.
New York's very romantic. Los Angeles is not, even though Los Angeles isn't really a city.
I think it's a romantic city.
Where's Boston?
Boston's not on. San Francisco didn't make the list.
You know why? Because you left your heart there.
No, because Tulsa kicked San Francisco off.
I get it, Andre. That was good.
Thank you.
I will give you the criteria because I was trying to stall long enough to find it. Yes, of course, it's Open Table, so it involves reservations and, you know, per capita people going out to dinner.
But I'm sure there's other things, too. Like, do you have a saddle? Do you not have a saddle? You know, things related to Oklahoma City.
Maybe there's not a lot else to
do there.
Does
your horse like you?
Except go out to eat.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's what it is, Andrea. Yeah.
No, Oklahoma City's a big town. They have culture.
You said you've never been.
Well, I know about Oklahoma City. I don't have to go there to know about it. The 25 most romantic cities in America, Chicago and Oklahoma City. Let's see this. Take a break. Come back. Coming up in just a few minutes, you'll have a chance to win Steve Martin and Martin Short tickets by stumping me. But an amazing woman you're going to meet here in just a few minutes, and her amazing kid. Stand by for that. Let's see. News next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Shot my mouth off yesterday. Said I know a lot about Steve Martin and Martin Short. I'm just a fan. There's a pretty good chance you're going to win tickets when you try to... it's going to be Sandberg who's going to try to stump me coming up here in a few minutes. I like your chances. Stand by to win those tickets. By the way, the open table reservations, most romantic cities in America, amongst their criteria, people that went out last year on Valentine's Day and percentage of people that reserve tables to go out.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Oh. I
still wouldn't consider it the most romantic city.
But that's the only thing to do there, probably.
It's Oklahoma City. It's a big city. It's fine. The rodeo.
Go watch the Thunder.
Got the Thunder.
Are they blue?
Movie theaters.
Yes.
They got stuff. It's a fine town. And no, I haven't been there, but this is what I'm hearing. Rumors are Oklahoma City's a fine city.
Allegedly.
716. Got an amazing woman I want you to meet and an amazing story to tell you. But first, Mary, update those cars.
And cars are really filling in the roadways and the rain as well. It's an hour 15 from 53, an hour in from Mannheim, 50 minutes outbound to 53. Also well over an hour, the inbound Kennedy, an hour 10 from O'Hare and about 28 from the Edens. 45 outbound to the airport, 32 on the Edens in both directions. Inbound Stevenson, 56 from the Tri-State, the Ryans, 22 from 95th. Heavy in from Sibley on the Bishop Ford, 57. Accident southbound Tri-State on the ramp to southbound 57. Right lane block there. It's also busy on Lakeshore Drive from Lawrence to Belmont. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, pre-approved by Acunet Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Yesterday afternoon, I was blessed again to spend the whole afternoon with my beautiful, funny, goofy, terrific, magical little granddaughter, Abigail Grace. And there's a moment where I look at her, knowing who I'm going to speak to here in a second, and just go, how lucky am I? And how lucky are you as you drive to work this morning? You got healthy, happy kids. Maybe, you know, like me, you got a first grandchild, healthy and happy. I mean, you're just very lucky. There's plenty of things for us to bitch about in life. But, I mean, you got to stop and pause and thank God, if you so believe, for what you have. Just be grateful. It's about grace. And I come across people like this occasionally that just blow me away. And that's why I want you to meet Susan Mahan. Susan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We've had better days, but I'm here.
I'm sure you have. Susan, little Owen Mahan, your son is now 9 years old?
He is nine now, yes.
And he's going through some surgeries that continue to be part of his life story because he was abused as a baby and been taken away. And you ended up adopting him, right?
I did. We started out fostering him. Then when he became available for adoption, I knew there was no way that little boy was going anywhere but with me.
And thank you for that. I don't want to get into a whole bunch of graphic details here, but just know that Owen, as a little baby, was put in a shower with scalding hot water blasting his body, and he was burned over how much of his body?
He was burnt 98% of his body.
And the two people involved in this would have been his birth mom and the boyfriend?
That is correct.
And those people, because of a bunch of things that we don't entirely understand, but things that will make your head explode, are not in jail.
That is correct. There were never any charges filed against either one of them.
It's outrageous. But I want to focus on the positive here because there's so much of it thanks to you. You started fostering kids when?
I've been fostering for 12 years.
And you have other foster kids in your home now, I understand, right?
I do. All right. Now I have two amazing little boys. We have a total of five boys living in the house right now.
I know you don't want to
three
make...
Three of which are adopted and two are foster.
I know you don't want to make this about you, but this is a big deal. What drove you to foster kids? What's the inspiration? What caused you to do that?
I was adopted as a child and had a rough childhood, and I just wanted to give back. And if I could make a difference in just one child's life, it's well worth it.
So this little boy, Owen, has had how many surgeries?
48 to count.
And part of the reason is because when you're burned in the way that he was, the skin grafts as a child grows, and as your body changes, right. Those skin grafts have to be replaced, I would assume, right?
Yes. What happens is his skin starts contracting. It starts getting too tight, which will make whatever area we're focused on contract, which means the muscle and bone will not grow properly if that contraction is not fixed. So as Owen continues to grow, and we've had a lot of growth spurts recently, so as he continues to grow, he will need at least 2 surgeries a year until the growing process stops. And then, you know, even then as an adult, you know, we gain weight on occasion, and people that have been burnt, you just can't do that. Every time you grow, your skin doesn't grow.
He knows you. He knows that you love him, and he knows he's in a loving home. But how much pain is he in? I mean, is it constant?
He is at constant pain. He has a very high pain tolerance. So when he tells me something's hurting, I know it's really hurting. Recently, about the past, even before the past 8 months, the past 8 months has been a little harder for him. But even before that, when he was wearing the prosthetic feet, those things are heavy. So he would get a lot of muscle aching on his hip joints just from the heaviness of wearing the prosthetics. But here in the past 8 months, he's not been able to walk. He was walking. He lost all of his toes. So there's just a small section of his foot, but it froze. So it's been like, even in the prosthetics, he's walking on his tiptoes only without toes. So the ankle was not designed to hold his weight.
Right.
And so he's been in a lot of pain. So he had to quit walking just because it hurt too bad.
And what surgeries are you dealing with this week?
We just amputated his right leg.
This little boy's 9 years old.
He's 9 years old. So we had to amputate 4 inches. Both legs need amputated because Owen's a little bit of a unique case. When we talk about amputation, we've been taking some good skin off of those legs and putting it places where it needs. So we knew when we amputated the legs that we could not throw that skin away. He doesn't have enough good skin. So in addition to getting his leg amputated this time, we took the good skin and the good tissue. His groin was really tight, so he couldn't spread his legs very far. So we had to use some good skin to release both sides of that groin. And then his right hand was deviating out, so we had to fix that. And then because to get the prosthetics, they like to keep the knee joint, but his left knee was contracting, so we had to release that left knee and graft 2 places on there before we can cut off the left leg. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense to people, that why are you working on that leg if you're just going to cut it off? But we need that joint to be good so we can get the best prosthetic fit so he can walk again. And I have to tell you, when we talked to the doctors initially, and I'd known for years that this day was coming, but you know what? No matter how long you know about it, you're never quite prepared.
Of course not.
So when we were talking to the surgeons, and I let Owen always be in the room with me when we're talking, it's his body, and he needs to understand what we're doing to it.
Sure.
So when they were telling us the only way to get him out of pain and the only way for him to ever walk again was to amputate those legs below the knee, he just looks up and he says, well, what are we talking about? Let's just cut him off.
He sounds like an amazing kid in a million ways, but I suppose it's interesting. The story is interesting to me because I can sort of understand it. But everything you're describing, what he's gone through, and the faith he's had to put in the faith you've had to put into the doctors, you're sitting there, Owen probably he goes, I'm 9. I just want to get on with my life.
Yeah, that's what he said. He says, I just want to walk and run like everybody else.
Oh, God. God bless him.
So, you know, and we talk about how heartbreaking his story is. So we struggled all night with his oxygen levels. Dressing changes are horrendous. They're very painful for these kids. But he's begging for a dressing change last night. He woke up once and just wanted us to wash his foot that's not there anymore. So he's struggling today. Our oxygen levels have dropped. But knowing everything he's going through, and I get out and I walk in the hallway after he goes to sleep, and just seeing some of the things the other kids up here are going through. There's kids with fresh burns, and hearing their dressing changes and hearing them cry, you know, just the things these little kids go through.
I can't imagine. And I don't know how you're holding it together. I hope you have some support from your family as well, because you need to you need to take care of you so you can keep taking care of Owen and the other kids the way you are. You're an amazing woman.
I don't know. I just do what needs to be done. You know, and we're talking about Owen, and you know, you wonder, he should not have lived. He has burnt 98% of his body. When I first got his referral, I worked on an ambulance for years. I've got some medical background. And, you know, when I read it, I'm like, oh, 98%, that's a typo. That didn't really happen because he wouldn't be alive. But it did happen with the first time I met him. Like, holy cow, he really got burnt this bad. You know, and so you wonder what he's here for and why he was still left with us. And we see it every day. We see it every day. You know, I've got emails from the teachers at school talking about how their day just isn't as bright without his infectious smile walking through the door. You know, he helps other kids at school that are having difficulties. There's a little boy in his class that's blind and has some issues, and sometimes the teachers don't understand the little boy. And Owen will go tell him what's wrong. Well, this is what he wants. You know, wow. He just touches lives. We had a therapy session one time, and there was an elderly man there. He's probably about 80. And he was struggling, and he's like, you know, I'm too old for this. I'm not going to do it. You know, he'd had a stroke. And we walk in, and they're pushing Owen beyond his boundaries, and it was hurting a little bit. But in Owen style, he soldiered on like he always does. And the man's like, what's his story? And I told the therapist, you can tell him. And, you know, they told the guy the story, and all of a sudden he picks up his weight, and he starts working, and he's just like, never mind.
How about that? The 80-year-old guy ready to quit gets inspiration from the 9-year-old who won't.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. Or, you know, one day I got splattered with bacon grease, and it hurts. And I sure. was whining about it. And then in pops Owen, I'm like, okay, never mind.
Well, and I've heard from other folks, too, how funny this kid is. And funny, you know, he's funny. He's a little boy. He's a funny goofball, and he loves baseball.
Yes. He does love baseball, and he just wants to run fast.
Well, I hope he will, and I certainly have faith in you're getting great care. I know you...
Because, Shriners Hospital is awesome.
And I know that you met the folks from Chicago Fire and kind of fell in love with those folks, and they fell in love with you, right?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, our relationship with them, it started about a year and a half ago, I believe, with Joe Minoso. We met at Blaze Pizza. Joe Minoso does for Shriners Hospital Be Burn Aware.
Yeah.
A lot of people are not aware of all the ways your child could get hurt. And a lot of these kids, it's an accident. Owen's wasn't, but this is an accident. You know, a lot of kids accidentally get burned, and there's ways to prevent that. So Joe Minoso does the Be Burn Aware program. So we met him at Blaze Pizza to kick off, and him and Owen made a pizza together. And this man took his evening to truly spend with Owen and, you know, talking to him. And they made a pizza together at Blaze Pizza.
How good is that?
And they, you know, they went back in the back and they made a pizza together and they took a bite of it. And Joe's like, Owen, do you like this pizza? I'm like, no, I think it's nasty. And Joe's like, well, let's just go make another one. You know, this man that is a star on a hit TV show stopped what he was doing and let's just make another one. And, you know, spent the whole evening with Owen.
Well, because he gets
that
it.
Day.
He gets it. He gets it. He gets it and he understands, you know. I mean, that's the way we all should be, regardless of what we're doing. One of the things I'm told that Owen loves to do is open mail, right?
Oh, my goodness. He loves to get the mail.
All right. So what? Can we send him letters? Is that cool if we do that?
Oh, that would be wonderful. He loves getting mail.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a link up. It's probably up already, Owen Sandberg. But Owen Mahan at 302 Brixton Woods E Drive in Pittsboro, Indiana, 46167. And don't worry if you didn't get that because I just went through it quickly. It'll be up everywhere, WGNradio.com, on the app, on social media, at Cochran Show, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. And that way you'll be able to write him a note. Notes, letters, all that stuff,
How about we all send him notes?
Absolutely.
How cool would that be?
Yeah, everybody listening right now, that's my challenge to you, the number one talk show audience in Chicago. I'm asking all of you to take time to pick up this address off the link and send Owen a note. Send him a letter.
You know, and if they will just put something funny that happened to them, he really likes to hear funny stories about people.
Well, that's great. I do silly things all day long. Please, that's the job. but one other thing I wanted to tell you about, too, and that's that Betsy Shepherd, who is an agent who deals with the cast, and a wonderful woman, by the way,
deals with the cast in Chicago Fire. You met Betsy, right?
Oh my goodness, she's a wonderful woman. Yes, I met Betsy.
Betsy fell in love with Owen, and
quite frequently.
Yeah, she fell in love with Owen, fell in love with your family, and she knows you're never going to ask for anything. But she had an idea, which she's gone ahead and done, and we knew if we brought it up to you, you wouldn't approve it. So we're just going to go ahead and do it, thanks to Betsy. So Betsy opened a GoFundMe page just to help support your family, just to raise as much money as we can, take a little bit of the edge off, because I can't imagine the expenses you're going through as well. So if you go to GoFundMe.com/ifOwenCanWeCanFund, you can make a contribution there. And I'm going to do it as soon as I hang up with you here. Again, it's GoFundMe.com. If Owen can, we can fund. And Betsy Shepherd, who is this crazy successful agent and plenty busier in her own life, equally touched by your family and touched by you, and she wanted to do that. So that funds up thanks to Betsy, and we want the listeners to kick it in and share it socially, and let's spread the word and raise some cash here to take a little bit of the edge off so you can enjoy life a little.
Oh, all I can do is say thank you.
Well, it's fine, and I'm going to let you get back to your boy. And please stay in touch, okay. And we want updates, but we will make sure that we keep talking about sending a note, a funny note, to our pal Owen. I just saw a picture of him. What a great smile on him.
He always has that smile. Also, he has a Facebook page. It's If Owen Can, We Can. He gets the biggest. He wanted 500 likes on his page last week. Last time I checked, last night, we were up to 1,400.
Fantastic. We'll get that number up as well. If Owen
If Owen can, we can Facebook page.
All right. And again, the GoFundMe page, same address, GoFundMe.com/ifOwenCanWeCanFund. You're amazing. Keep the faith. I know you will. You don't need to hear it from me, but we'll stay in touch. Hold the line. Well, there you go. Beat that.
I just joined the Facebook page.
Wow.
This is great. And there's some great pictures, too.
He's a beautiful kid.
He's adorable.
That's an amazing woman. Single mom doing that on her own
with other foster kids who also have special needs.
Who all have needs.
Yeah,
man, there's some special people that walk amongst us. I'll tell you that.
She didn't want to talk about herself at all. Just makes me cry.
This kid's awesome. Join this page because it's great.
Just
pictures.
Did.
And
yep.
Take time to send a note or a letter today with some funny story or goofy story. Just hey, Owen, keep it up, man. We're proud of you. Owen Mahan, 302 Brixton, Brixton Woods, Brixton Woods, the letter E Drive, Pittsboro, Indiana, Pittsboro, Indiana, 46167.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Former Illinois Comptroller Leslie Munger is now the deputy governor. She'll join us in just a couple minutes here. And I'll ask her what a deputy governor is, because I don't think we've ever had one, have we? We haven't had one, have we?
Not that I know. We've always had lieutenant governor, obviously, but this will be... Like, we have a deputy mayor.
Right. But I'll ask, do we have a lieutenant governor and now a deputy governor? And right. You know how much I like Leslie Munger.
Very much.
Do we need a deputy governor? So we'll get into that in just a second. I want to hit you with a couple of the texts we're receiving. We're receiving a thousand of them. One of the most... This is about a little Owen. One of the most heartrending stories ever done. Owen and his wonderful mom. Thank God for her love letters on the way and prayers for both of them. Pittsboro is the home of NASCAR champ Jeff Gordon. I wonder if Jeff knows this story. Because Pete could get this story to Jeff.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, let's work on that. Let's make sure Pete can get this story to Jeff in case he doesn't know. Since it's his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Moved to tears by Owen's story. Thanks to Steve for bringing it to our attention. Car to Owen on the way. Bless him and you all for having the foster mom on the air. I mean, listen, nothing about us. It's simply just turning on a phone. Mom's doing all the work.
And this is something so little, too. Send him a note, a card. Yeah. Think how happy he's going to be to get all these notes and cards.
Yeah, the card thing, it's just a piece of cake. You know, so the address is up everywhere on social media, and we've linked it through WGNradio.com. We're texting people back as fast as we can here, so we'll get to you as soon as possible. Will that interview with Owen be available online? I want my kids to listen to it. Well, there's another good mom. Mm-hmm. I assume it's a mom, might be a dad. In about 5 minutes, it will be up. And there's a couple here I wanted to get to. You know how much of a fan I am of our texting program.
Yes.
Steve, the interview with Owen's mom is truly an inspiration since the people who hurt Owen aren't in jail. I'm concerned for them. Love the interview. Thank you.
I don't think they're a danger to Owen or his family, but yeah, oh yeah, they ought to be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Make some phone calls. Ay-yay-yay. And then these, my English students in Belvedere are going to be writing Owen today. You know what I like about that? I like the fact that she's bringing it up to the kids, and I like the fact that none of them are leaving the school without writing a letter.
Isn't it great?
Or making sure the homework's done.
How cool. He's going to get so much mail.
This yeah, is which be is great.
Great, yeah.
847, I'm a grown man driving an 18-wheeler down the road crying. God bless that family, and God bless you all for bringing it on. And right after that from the 630, I'm sitting here on my bulldozer bawling my eyes out. Thanks, man.
See?
So thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for getting it and for listening and for supporting Owen.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Right now, the backlog of bills is around $11 billion. Left unchecked, it will grow to $13.5 billion by July. I look forward to him walking everyone through his detailed plan to raise $6.5 billion in revenue and needed reforms to finally produce a balanced budget. These are all tied together. If pension reform fails, it's all off. If school funding overhaul, workers' comp reforms, and the budget plan fail along with it, the plan fails along with it.
A little bit of Senate President John Cullerton yesterday at City Club. He also had some comments. I'm Leslie Munger, who joins us now. Nice to have you back. Now, let me just start with this. You know what a fan I am of you and of the work you did as comptroller and you, period. So I'm glad you're back in government, but you're now the new deputy governor, and I know we have had him before. But in times like this, do we need a deputy governor, and what does it mean you're going to do?
Well, good morning, Steve. Good morning, Andrea. Thanks
Hi.
For having me back on this morning.
Thanks for being here.
So my job as a deputy governor, it's a staff position, and just to maybe clarify, because I know some people think there haven't been them, there were two deputy governors for the governor before. And this position was opened up when Linda Lingle, who was one of the deputy governors, left last summer. And I had two deputy comptrollers. It's a normal thing in state government to have a deputy who manages and helps take care of getting a lot of the things done, more like a chief operating officer would in a company. And so my job as a deputy governor is to really help lead some of the critical initiatives. They're going to help get our state back on track, helping the governor, helping working with the other deputy governor who handles a lot of things that goes on in the agency. I'm going to be focusing on human services, on outreach to businesses, human services, helping with the budget, communications, et cetera. So it's really a way for me to, I think, help use my long years of experience and what I know about the state to try and help.
Yeah, and just so for the sake of people understanding then, including me, delineation of duties, lieutenant governor spot, which has been controversial, turns out to be, in a lot of cases, an ambassador for the state. This is somebody that goes around and pumps people up about the state, and I assume that's what Ms. Sanguinetti is doing?
Yes, and she's actually also working on how they can reduce the number of layers of government in the state right now. So she's been working with a lot of the local governments to try and come up with some plans for that and options. So she's not just an ambassador, but my job is really, it's a staff position. It's there to be an aide and to help get some of the things done while the governor is running all over the state. It's hard to get things done. So
yeah,
I'm here to help that.
Yeah, there's plenty of work, obviously, but we wanted to make sure that we understood and that the people understand that this is not some made-up patronage situation.
No, absolutely not. And if it ceases to become something where I feel I can make a difference, I'll be happy to step down.
Leslie, we're glad you're back. Let's get your thoughts on Lisa Madigan's decision to halt the pay of certain state agencies.
I'm really disappointed to see that she's bringing that up again. Just a little background on this. When I was comptroller and we began the time without a budget, I asked her to go to court to get an agreement to an order to allow me to pay state employees because she had done that before when Comptroller Hines was in office. And so she went to court to stop paying employees. I took her to court with my own lawyers. I won both in the appellate court and down in St. Clair County. And she could have, if she disagreed with that, continued to take me to court and to try and get that change then. But she didn't, and she waited until now when I think, she's really doing this for partisan reasons to try and create a crisis in the state. that will force a short-term knee-jerk solution, which is frankly how we've gotten into all these problems in the state. We are at a point right now where finally we have the Senate is starting to work on some options. It's very encouraging that we have people working together in a bipartisan manner to try and put in place some long-term changes that will get our state out of this. So the worst thing that could happen would be to throw a wrench in this and to stop paying employees and really bring the government to a halt.
Lisa Madigan is invited here anytime, by the way, to talk about what you've just said and what other people are saying as well. I'd like to take a slightly different view on things, but I'd also like to talk to her about it because I think a fire needs to be lit over and under everybody in Springfield. Because the one question I hear more than anything else when it's not about Trump is, why can't we force Madigan to get in a room and play ball? And I think there's been too much politeness. I think we're well past polite, and I think we need to get on with being grown-ups and fixing the problem.
Well, I think just one, you know, the state employees are the people showing up to do their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that make sure the checks go out for pensions, for our schools, et cetera. It's been the legislature that, you know, hasn't been there working a lot. And so, you know, if she wanted to stop paying someone, you know, I put everyone's pay in line. I did not stop paying them. I put legislative and elected official pay in line. Maybe she should go to court and say, we're not going to pay legislators. She should take my no budget, no pay initiative, and she should enact that and say, you know, can we stop paying? Can we get rid of that law that they passed with Governor Quinn that made sure that legislators got paid regardless of a budget? And maybe then they would feel the pressure to go get their jobs done. But to use the state employees as political pawns to force a crisis and shut down our government, I think is very wrong. They're not the ones who control this. It's the elected officials in the state.
Collerton yesterday at the City Club mentioned you in his speech as someone that he hoped would help get Rauner on his side to facilitate his part of this budget to move it forward. I've never heard Collerton more out on a limb and more frustrated and saying we've got to do something and we've got to do something now. It clearly indicates to me a crack in the Madigan power base, not that Collerton worked for Madigan, don't misread that, mm-hmm. but that it's not just one group, you know, behind Mike Madigan anymore, and that Collerton's sick of it and he wants a solution. Are you reading it the same way?
I am. I'm very, as I said, I'm very encouraged that the Senate is starting to work together to put in place some plans that will get us out of this over the long term. The most important thing we can do for our state right now is to bring jobs back, to get our economy growing, and we need a predictable economic environment to do that. And that means long-term solutions to some of these problems that we've had, and I know that they're working on a lot of those things. I would just like to say that I think we have to look at things that are structural in nature. We have to include changes that will be meaningful in the cost basis of our state. As they look, they've proposed a tax increase, a permanent tax increase. So we have to look at things that will help bring the cost down in our state so that we don't send taxpayers out again. We provide a path forward for the future. I think my job is going to be to help explain some of these things and to clarify a lot. You know, I have heard a lot said over the last couple of days. In fact, I heard Comptroller Mendoza on WGN on Sunday morning talk about how the governor has not presented a balanced budget yet. That's just completely false. In his first year and in last year during the budget address, he presented options to balance the budget if the legislature gave him the authority to make some of the cuts that are protected in law and spending that are uncuttable without their authority. And I just like to maybe emphasize we cannot get to a balanced budget unless we look at some of those items. The cost of pensions, Medicaid, and debt alone, those three items, all that spending is protected in law, totals about $24 billion this year. If you add in the $11 billion that we have of unpaid bills right now, the total's $35 billion. The revenue estimate for the state this next year is just under $33 billion. We wouldn't have funded education, public safety, human service, You cannot get to a balanced budget without looking at changing some of the spending protected in law.
There has been bipartisan selfishness in this state for too long, and we're paying for it now. And the legal levers that have been put into place that now have to be broken or have to have a cooperation to be broken so that we can actually get to a balanced budget are key. So it's absolutely true what you just said and absolutely false what Mike Madigan has put forward, because Mike Madigan's response to the governor's attempt last year was a budget that was $7 billion out of whack. When Mike Madigan shows that he cares about this state, I'll happily shut up about him. Until then, he's welcome here to defend himself, which he's never been brave enough to do. We appreciate your time and good luck. We need this fixed, and, you know, usually when you're on, I tell you this, fix it, will you? Let us know when you're done.
I'm really trying. I'm going to try and get a lot of this information out, and we just need everyone to get behind. People working together, stop pointing fingers, let's work together, let's all give something, let's get a balanced budget in place and get on a path for a strong future, growing economy and jobs.
It's Leslie Munger, the new deputy governor of the state of Illinois, and you said that he came up, or she came up in Cullerton's speech yesterday.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, and, so. And it seemed as though he was kind of extending an olive branch, it seemed to me, at the very end there, so hopefully they can work together.
Madigan's having a bad 2017 so far, and I hope it continues. Steve Martin, Martin Short Tickets with Dean coming up. We didn't get to that last hour. We'll get to it coming up. And Dean is next after the news, which is next before Dean. Got it on 720 WG.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
I want to thank the WGN listeners for stepping up already. And we'll make sure Dean and television have this too.
What's that?
This little boy, Owen, who was abused as a baby and put into scalding hot water in a bathtub and has gone through 48 surgeries and at the age of 9 is having his legs amputated. It just smiles and tries to have a good day and just wants to run again and get on with things. And there's a letter-writing campaign because he loves to open mail. But then one of the agents from Chicago Fire, Betsy, put together a GoFundMe page, and we've raised $2,000 just since we had her on less than an hour ago.
That's awesome. That's amazing. What is the GoFundMe page?
The GoFundMe page, again, is, I'm really glad you asked, Dean, because I've got it right here in front of me, GoFundMe.com/IfOwenCanWeCanFund. GoFundMe.com/IfOwenCanWeCanFund.
F-U-N-D?
Yep. And I just...
Common spelling, Steve?
Common spelling, yeah, no silent P. And I contributed during a commercial break, so it takes no time.
How much?
All the money I had.
We're almost to 3,000 now.
I like asking awkward questions.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I took it out of the money I was putting on your GoFundMe page.
Oh, God.
Hey, by the way, I shot my mouth off yesterday at a meeting, said I know everything there is to know about Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Yes.
So there's going to be a challenge in our second segment today, and you're going to help me.
Okay.
Okay? So we'll get to that. Christy Brinkley in a bikini. What's wrong with that?
Have you seen the picture?
Fantastic.
Sports Illustrated. She is 63 years old. And she's posing in Sports Illustrated in bikini with her two daughters, who all three of them, they, you know, literally, you know, people say all the time, oh, you look like sisters when they're lying through their teeth when they say that.
Yeah.
These three actually do look like sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Alexa Ray is 31, and I think the youngest is 18, and mom looks like she could be their older sister.
She looks fantastic.
It's ridiculous.
I love this. This is awesome.
But if you look at the picture, Dean, it's weird, and I don't know if this is, you know, I'm focused on the wrong things because I would be in this picture, but it looks like Christy Brinkley is a giant. She's standing.
She seems to be standing on water,
walking on water. Yeah,
yeah, she's. But her legs look like they're behind the girls, and the body's in front of them. I don't know what happened there. Is Christy Brinkley 47 feet tall?
I think she's on a box or something. The coolest part is on the Instagram post, she said, thank you for sending the powerful message that good things come in packages of every size and we do not come with an expiration date.
Well, I don't know what to say to that other than nicely done.
Yeah.
Hamina, 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 hamina.
That's what I wanted to say.
Did you see the picture of her in the red bikini?
I've gone through all of them twice, Dean, and I concur.
There's, She's got like a it's kind of fishnet, the black bikini.
Same thing Dave's wearing.
Very revealing.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But it's a little chilly, too.
The red bikini is extremely attractive.
Yes. Well, you're not lying.
She's 63. She's like...
Yeah, she could be a cougar for you.
No, we're about the same age, really. So.
It's funny how the one daughter looks so much like you, Dean.
I'm just thinking about how we're about the same age and how I look like crap and she like...
No, you do not.
No, you look fantastic. Yeah, you would look like crap in her bikini.
If I was wearing that bikini.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I disagree, Dean. You'd look great in the fishnet.
It just would take such a long time for the electrolysis.
Yeah.
I might be 1 or 2 years older by the time they finally finish that.
Right, and you couldn't find a Greek doctor to do it.
No, a Greek doctor will not apply electrolysis
to
another Greek person. Mm-mm.
Willie Nelson canceling concerts. What's that about?
We don't know why, but he's canceled. He was supposed to do 3 concerts in Bakersfield, California, canceled all 3 of them just 2 weeks ago. He was set to do some shows in Vegas, canceled those because of a very bad cold. So we don't. They're not saying what it might be. Next scheduled show is February 16th. Hopefully he'll be up and running.
How old's Willie? He's over 80, isn't he?
He's 83.
Yeah.
83.
Can we get him some medical marijuana? I don't know if he'd be willing to try it.
I don't even think that would make any difference with him anymore. I think he's it's like a neutral kind of thing, and it would have no effect on him anymore.
You know, we didn't talk about yesterday, speaking of weed. I really thought the Snoop Dogg Martha Stewart commercial was pretty good.
Very funny.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Were they smoking weed together?
They were cooking.
Cooking with weed?
Yeah, and then Martha made 18 veiled references to weed in regards to what she was cooking.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it was funny.
I like when Martha talks like a druggie.
And I tweeted out, fun fact, they both went to jail.
Oh, that's true.
Yep.
That's very true. I was traveling back and forth to L.A. this weekend doing some interviews, so I missed the Atlanta Falcons part of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Got off to see Gaga's halftime show, mm-hmm. which was stunning.
Yeah, great.
Then saw the Patriots. saw the completely other game that happened after.
It was 2 football games. Well put.
2 different football games.
Now, when you see the press secretary Sean Spicer do his daily briefing, how many amongst you saw it yesterday and went, "Is that Melissa McCarthy? Is that Melissa McCarthy?"
Yep. Yeah. You think that was too mean? Because Spicer is now saying that they need to pull back. They're being too mean.
No, of course it's not too mean. It's comedy.
Because I think about literally for decades they have spoofed
everybody:
Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford.
Chevy Chase has lifetime pain and injuries to his back because his entire bit was Gerald Ford falling down. Based on one, but Gerald Ford, a terrific athlete, by the way, based on one piece of footage back in the 70s when Gerald Ford tripped coming off of an
airplane. Yeah, I mean, they've done it all the time. I don't think it's, I get that if you're of, you know, if you believe a certain way politically that you think it's too much.
Comedy's not
but
nice.
Here's
a bulletin.
It's what they do.
Somebody's going to get hurt. It's comedy.
Yep.
I think if Melissa McCarthy spoofed either of you guys, I think you both would laugh.
Absolutely. Rosie O'Donnell wants to play Steve Bannon. This is funny. Rosie O'Donnell says she'll play Steve Bannon. She's volunteered for that. But I want to get to this tape. And we did 2 callers to play the Martin Short, Steve Martin game. 312-981-7200 if you want a shot at the Steve Martin Short tickets. And Dean and I will hopefully not be stumped by you.
No way. We're both fans. No way.
You sat down with Tracy Morgan, and you made him cry.
One of the interviews that I did over the weekend, he's in this new movie called Fist Fight. I'll tell you much more about that when it opens next week, and I'll tell you more about that. But this is Tracy Morgan's first big project since since nearly dying, traumatic brain injury that they were not sure if he was going to live. And I sat down to talk with him, and you know, we joked and we laughed, and then he just got into this very serious mode, talking about how grateful he is to be alive. Listen to this, and you'll hear he breaks up in the middle of the conversation.
When I came back, with the right people, because it could have went the other way. Right? I could have been a part of. They were ready for me.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were ready for me and. As far as I'm concerned, when I came back, and this is my first project,
Carlos, we good?
Good. It was to people who welcomed me and treated me warmly and made me comfortable enough to be funny. I was really happy. to be there. I was really excited going there on the plane. I was talking to my wife to death about it. I was really excited. Then I got there, things turned out right. And they allowed me to be me. Almost lost my life. Almost lost it. I was happy to be there with y'all. And we take it for granted sometimes. Look what we get to do.
Yeah.
We should have fun.
That's pretty it's pretty touching.
That was the whole interview. I edited it down a little bit just for time's sake, but how can this not be life-changing, something like this for him, to the point where he's talking about it and still breaks down after what's been a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Not that he's ever going to get over it, but he is grateful to be alive. Here is a man who is very, very grateful to be alive.
A lot of grace.
And, puts it beautifully. We're going to play the whole interview this coming Sunday.
Right. Excellent. Come back, and we'll see if you can win Steve Martin and Martin Short tickets. Stump Steve and Dean, a brand new game show. It's very, very hot. And it's next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We had never met.
All those years that you did SCTV and I was doing SNL, but we had never met before.
We had never met. And then there were...
It was the first day of shooting on the Three Amigos, and I was walking to the set, the whole full outfit. And from behind me, I heard Katharine Hepburn say, "Where's my bicycle?" And well, you do it better. Do what you did.
I said, "Where the hell? I wish I had my bicycle. We'd go and pick blueberries. Such a beautiful day."
See, but,
I turned.
Nobody.
I turned and I thought, "Oh, I got 3 months to go with this guy."
Steve Martin and Martin Short touring their show again. I saw them 2 years ago now, and they're tremendous. We have Steve Martin and Martin Short tickets. The Steep Canyon Rangers will be there as well, October 6th and 7th at the Chicago Theater.
And are they on the line with us right now? Steve, Marty, welcome.
They're actually not with us, though.
Oh.
However, listeners Larry and Tom are standing by.
Yeah, they're good. They're funny.
They're just as good.
They're very funny, too.
Tickets go on sale this Friday. I don't know when the Larry and Tom tickets go on sale. Tickets go on sale this Friday, 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster in your Chicago Theater box office. All right, Sandberg, how's this going to work?
So you claimed yesterday in our meeting that you are the expert on Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Yes, I did, yeah.
So we've got two listeners on the line. Larry is playing for, he wants you to be a Martin Short expert, and Tom wants you to be a Steve Martin expert.
Okay.
We're going to see the person you know best is going to get the tickets.
All right, let's see. Let's go to Larry first, and Dean will help me. Help me. Larry. Hi, Larry.
Hi, guys.
Well, you'll need them both.
No, I put them both up at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because... then you
lock
would know the answers.
Lock that line in. Here we go. Stand by.
There's a whole technical thing here with the buttons.
All right, Larry and Tom are both here. Tom, how are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic.
All right, so here we go. You're going to ask a question. Dean and I will try to answer.
Yep.
All right, ready when you are.
He graduated from McMaster University with a Bachelor of Arts degree in social work in 1971.
That's Martin Short.
Yes.
Oh, hey, yeah, there you go.
All right, point for Larry.
Yeah.
Very good.
Next.
He has 2 stars on the Canada's Walk of Fame.
That would be...
well, it's got to be Martin Short.
Martin Short.
We think Martin Short.
He's a foreigner.
Oh, look at this.
Dean, did you call him a foreigner?
Yeah.
Look at this.
We're not letting him in the country.
He was a contestant on the Dating Game.
I think that's Steve Martin.
I believe that is correct.
I think that's Steve Martin.
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
And isn't that where he debuted the arrow through his head thing? Mm-hmm. I think that's where he did it.
Was it?
Yeah, that and the Smothers Brothers.
His oldest brother died in a car accident when he was only 12.
Oh. Wow. It's cheery.
Way to bring it
down. I know. Yeah.
I think that's Marty. I think that's Martin Short.
I don't know this.
Marty?
Yeah, it's Marty. I think it's Marty.
First name basis.
Look at this. Full for full.
His first ever job was at Disneyland.
That's Steve Martin.
That's definitely Steve Martin. Yeah.
Yep.
Did you write these questions for yourself?
No, I just wrote the answers.
He popularized the air quote.
Really?
Who?
He invented the air quote?
Which he? You tell me, which he?
Dean? Invented the air quote?
Don't. I guess I remember Steve Martin doing it early on. I don't remember him inventing it, but I'll say Steve Martin.
Steve Martin. All right, we have a 3-3 tie. That's the end of the game.
All right, so coin flip it in the back. You tell us who wins the tickets. Our second place finisher and runner-up, and you know me, I'd give tickets to both of them. Let's give them an app gift card and also tickets to the auto show. Hold the line. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
He seems to be completely unreceptive.
Every time we talk to Coach Q, we have the Who come in and play live, as you know. I'd like to thank the boys for being here. He loves the Who, and we love Coach Q. And, of course, Coach Q is always sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Dave, I don't know if you know this. They're not just a wing joint. It's a way of life.
So I hear.
Yes. And, you know, Dave, I never let you ask the first question. You have to ask the first question today. Let's go to Coach Q and Dave Ennett. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you doing?
I don't want to put any pressure on you, but Ennett's about to fire away. Dave, whenever you're ready.
All right. Let's look ahead to tomorrow night. You go back at it. You're going for three in a row, playing Minnesota. Does it carry any greater significance because of where you both are in the standings?
No, it's a huge game. I mean, you look at them. They play tonight, and they still got three games on us. And obviously, you know, whether you're going to be four back or five, six, we'll see. But certainly we got to look at it as we got an opportunity here where we can close that gap and see where we go from there. But it's a huge game. You know, they've got a little bit of a run on us as well in the regular season. So we want to stop that run as well. So there's importance to how we play. We felt on the last road trip we had three solid games, a couple of real big wins for us as well. And we're going to need our A game. They're playing as good as anybody has all year, along with Washington. To me, they're the two top teams, and it'll be a good test as well.
Yeah, how big was that win over Dallas on Saturday night? Because of the way that game went, it had so many ebbs and flows.
Yeah, it was I thought we did a lot of good things in that game. I thought we had the lead, find a way, a big shift right after they scored to Kanner scores the equalizer, and we take it to the net on the fourth one with a nice finish by our TVR, and then all of a sudden, we come up with huge comeback win in the third, where we've had some trouble holding leads recently, but good responses in our last two games with the tight games and finding a way to come up with points that we probably had a different January than we've had in the past, where we had five games where we didn't come up with any points. So it's I think that's the ground we lost with Minnesota, and we're trying to recapture that.
And this stretch of five on the road will continue. Look, I know with the Olympics, in or out, it gets a little funky. And then, there are things schedule-wise that the NHL has that are unique to other places. But do you get frustrated at all with the way the scheduling breaks out? Because it seems like, this stretch of five road games now, of course, the circus trip's not going to be an issue going forward. I don't know. It just seems like the schedule could be a little more cohesive. Or is that just a fan talking like a fan?
We broke up this trip there in two three-game segments there, and then so it's the way it is. And I think that coming out of the All-Star break, and we're going into our break, so it's it gives us a chance to get back to basically having a little bit of balance in our home and away scheduling. Now we had a plus seven going into this, and now we come back and gets us close to getting even now. And we've got a real busy March. This February here is kind of a little bit of a lighter schedule with a couple of breaks, and hopefully we can take advantage of it. We've got Edmonton going into it and Edmonton coming out of it, so it'll be those will be real good tests as well. And we've got a Winnipeg team that has our number coming up on this trip, so we got three tough games going into it, and we want to make sure that we try to find a way to get some points here and finish in a positive way.
Joe, a little bit off track here, but I just wonder, when you're watching a Super Bowl like we saw on Sunday.
You're assuming you watched it.
If you watched it.
Yeah.
Well, 117 million people watched it.
Yeah.
Do you have a greater appreciation when you see a performance like that, since you've been part of teams able to respond under pressure, the 17 seconds down 3-1 to the Red Wings or the Ducks, and you see a team like the Patriots who kind of do the same thing?
Well, the composure they had when they're down, when they had that turnover, and then all of a sudden they look at it and they're down by 19. Okay, if we kick a field goal here, We still got a chance at 2 8 pointers coming up, and the way they did it meticulously, they didn't they just kept grinding it out, found a way their defense came up large, and so there's an appreciation not just for Tom Brady and the players, but Bill Belichick having his team staying with it, finding ways to overcome some serious obstacles. I don't think anybody thought that they had a chance there, and me included. But they stuck with it. It was an amazing game. It was an unbelievable comeback. Give them all the credit in the world. I don't think anybody could foresee that time remaining the way the game was
insane played,
that you could come back.
No, it was absolutely nuts. It was insane. Who's the Tom Brady of hockey? Any era, the guy that you absolutely never count out. He's viciously competitive, and has the ability to pull his team together and maybe make something like that happen. Maybe you played with him, maybe you didn't.
Well, I think Taser and Kane are pretty good.
Yeah, so do I.
These guys are, the bigger the game, the bigger the setting, the bigger the stage. They find ways to overcome it, and the team rallies around them, and they find a way to be the best they can in big moments.
Taser's
bigger than what we saw on Sunday.
Taser, let me tell you how competitive Taser is. So I go to the Blackhawks Christmas party. I'm saying hi to some people, and I'm walking over to my table, and Taser needed a chair for his table, and just when I sat down, he pulled it out from under me. That's how competitive he is. We were even fighting over chairs.
Hey, Coach, are you at all worried, speaking of, entertainment, are you at all worried that Campbell and Panarin might be going Hollywood with their new award-winning show, Soup in a Sandwich?
I haven't seen it yet, but...
Oh, what you're missing.
Oh, its third installment was out last week.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to tune in.
No, I don't know that you should. I think they both might end up with less playing time. It's nothing about you. It's just when you watch them, you go, wow, grown men.
I think it's cute.
Oh, it's very funny.
Yeah.
It's very funny and very stupid, which is one of the reasons I responded to it. Coach, how would you break down the Lady Gaga halftime show? What did you think of that?
I thought it was very entertaining. I think she put on an amazing show. It was fun to watch.
She was something else. All right, injuries. Who's healthy? Who's not healthy? What do we need to worry about?
Well, I think Michael Roosevelt right now is on the mend, and other than that, touch wood here, we should be have a full complement here today, and everybody ready to go on this trip.
Goalie situation, still like the way Crow's looking?
He's been all right. I mean, I think across the board, our goaltending has been fine. I think it was outstanding going into, the first couple of months, and it's still very good. And we're going to need him to be great here as we go along here.
It's been a rough week for your profession in the National Hockey League. I know Ken Hitchcock, longtime colleague of yours, was let go in this morning. I presume you've heard that Claude Julien was relieved of his duties by the Boston Bruins.
Yep. Yeah, it's a negative in our business, and it's one of those things that happen, and I think we're all aware that it's one of the negatives that we deal with as coaches, and Claude did a great job. Hitch did an outstanding job as well, and I think that's how the league is like that this year. It's like everybody is so close, and it's so competitive, and everybody has different expectations, but both guys should be proud of the job they've done, and their careers have been outstanding as well.
No doubt about it. The second most winningest coach in the history of the National Hockey League, because honestly, who's going to catch Scotty? But we love what Coach Q does every single time he gets out there, straps on the tie, and starts growling at everybody. That's the best. And we look forward to seeing you before the month's over, because you got a couple of home games to end of February.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Coach. Talk to you later.
Bye.
That's Coach Q. Did you know he's the second winningest coach in National Hockey League history?
Yeah. I thought he was the first. Who's the first?
Scotty Bowman. Oh. But don't sell him short. It might catch him.
Yeah.
I think, that's a good point. I think Coach Q is the Tom Brady of the Chicago Blackhawks.
But it would have been presumptuous for him to say that.
Right. But he was thinking it.
See Coach Q come out in the Belichick hoodie?
No.
How scary would he look at that?
I don't see that.
On Snapface.
On Snapface, right, or MyChat. Right. Let's get Marion here for a traffic update. CLTV will join us here in just a few minutes. You can watch us every morning at 9 to 10, or you can watch Roe and Anna 3 to 4 on CLTV. Go ahead.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Hopefully it is tough, and I can play a really solid round and, you know, and give myself more looks.
Tiger started having some back spasms last night during dinner. In their mind, this is a relief. It's only spasms. So for now, it just wasn't good enough for him to try to play golf today. He had was going to have a hard time making the cut anyway.
I didn't hit the ball very well. I left virtually probably about 16 putts short.
It's not related to the nerve damage that has caused him so much problems here in the last few years that led to two back surgeries in 2015.
I just could not hit the putts hard enough. I left every putt short.
So, look, golf needs Tiger Woods. I don't care how you feel about Tiger Woods. Golf needs Tiger Woods, and I don't believe he's done, but this physical stuff is scary, and the psychological stuff right now is even more damaging. Doesn't he feel like he's going to come back? Because you know he wants to play Augusta, and I still think he will. He has that kind of a week. Now, whether or not the back stuff is real or whether or not he didn't want to play, and as Scott Rude joins us, Scott spent years at the Golf Channel, and Scott, what are they, 60-mile-an-hour winds in Dubai or wherever he was playing?
Yep.
So if you're feeling terrible and you got to go out and shoot 65 in a 60-mile-an-hour wind, look, it's not going to happen. So if you're feeling terrible, you probably want to go home. So who knows if it was as bad as he said. But I heard a bunch of people say, well, he wasn't putting. Bad back doesn't affect putting. Putting and a bad back absolutely go together.
Yeah, I think that he had a bad first round.
Right.
I mean, if he shot 65 and he had back spasms, I think he tees off in round two.
Right.
I think good golf changes your attitude.
Sure.
I mean, that's probably the only thing we can relate to Tiger Woods with.
Right.
In terms of our golf game to his.
Right. Well, a hairline in my case.
Oh, yeah. There's rumors he has hair plugs.
I never went that route. So it looks like we separated there as well. But what's your level of confidence he's going to come back?
100%.
So you think he can play enough well enough to win and compete again at least?
Yeah, I do.
So do I.
I think that's a realistic expectation. I don't think him being number one in the world is a realistic expectation.
Right.
I think him being a nifty golfer, top 40 in the world, I think is still very feasible. Outside of the World Golf Championship events, he can still pick his schedule.
Right.
So he's going to be fine. That's the luxury that he has that few people don't. But he has injuries other golfers have never had before. And then he had a sex scandal that no athlete has ever had.
Right.
Both of them are monumental and unprecedented. So, and I covered him. I covered all but seven of his events worldwide from 2006 to 2014. So I saw the great.
Right, sure.
I saw the embarrassing.
Right.
And then I saw the downfall. I was the only person there on the eighth hole at Bridgestone the week he was being deposed for his divorce. And that, I think, because people, that's the main question. People want to know, two questions I always get. One, can he be number one in the world again? Can he win a major again? I want Tiger the way he was a drug to me for the first 13 years of his career. And the other one is, what is the main reason for his downfall? Is it the embarrassment of the sex scandal? Is it the overtraining that broke down his left leg that probably then...
Is it the Navy SEAL stuff, right? Where he's running around in Navy SEAL boots trying to live up to some legacy he thought he needed to honor for his dad. Is it any of that?
Well, Hank Haney, who was his second coach, who came out with the book The Big Miss by Jaime Diaz, good friend. I remember when it first came out, Jaime said that there's no reason for me not to do this book because Tiger doesn't do interviews with me anymore, so if I burn bridges, and Hank felt the same way, but the main thing that Tiger was mad about was that he said after his meetings at Fort Bragg, his dad was an alleged Green Beret, that he was obsessed with getting into this military mindset and started training there, and the left knee and the left Achilles were from training like he's in the military. Golfers don't have those types of injuries. They don't have to have ACL tears. They don't have to have, I can count on one hand, elite golfers that have had the specific back surgeries had. So, yeah, it's a combination of his back, his psyche after the embarrassment of the sex scandal, and he's an old 41-year-old golfer.
Yeah.
I mean, when he went on Mike Douglas at 2, he basically became an unofficial pro.
You think about the amount of balls he's hit in his life, and if you go with the theory, and a lot of people will tell you this, there's a finite number of swings a body has, and everybody's different. he's probably used his up plus two other guys. So the mental wherewithal he needs to suck up to fight through these injuries and to work on his game enough to come back when he's probably still sitting on a net worth somewhere between, what, 200 and 500 million? Somewhere
in the neighborhood? Yeah, the most recent reports over the holiday season, somewhere around 700 million.
Oh, so 700 million.
He'll be fine.
You guys say, I love golf. I love everything about golf. I love playing it. I love watching it. I liked Tiger, past tense. I'm not a fan anymore. Maybe it's because of the scandal. But why do you guys always say the sport needs Tiger? Why?
Look at the ratings. You look at the ratings and you look at everything related to golf. When Tiger plays in an event, ratings shoot up, interest shoots up, it becomes news and a front page item. Now, it won't continue that way if he can't play. But the sport becomes exponentially more interesting because the Babe Ruth of the sport, at least for this generation, is playing. It's that simple.
That makes sense.
People would rather know what he had for lunch than what Phil Mickelson shot. Yeah. And Phil Mickelson was the number two guy. And it is, in one word, it's ratings. A good example is when he turned pro in 96, if you won a tournament, you roughly won $350,000. And then the next TV contract, ESPN jumped on board, and they dropped out in 07 because they overpaid.
Right.
Because people were drooling over what could be, which was unbelievable. But all of a sudden, if you won a tournament, it was $1 million. So every tour player, and players in the past, oh, Tiger Woods, millions of dollars.
Well, the private golf industry. I mean, golf courses are closing around the country. Golf Smith is out of business. Golf Galaxy's been absorbed by Dick's. So you won't have Golf Galaxy's anymore. You go into Dick's. And they go, Dick's Sporting Goods has great golf departments. But all those stores, the only one that still is thriving is the guy that owns the Atlanta Falcons, started the PGA Tour Superstores.
Yes.
Those stores are still going to survive. But everything, the shrinking of the golf business and what you did for years at the Golf Channel, that's all tied to Tiger.
Yeah, and the media's kind of gone away, too. I mean, right now, it's this one tunnel, mostly just Golf Channel. I know that's happening in the whole parlance of media to a degree, but I do think that Tiger Woods is still the biggest draw, but motivation is going to be the biggest thing, I think, moving forward.
But where does that come from? I mean, you know him, we don't.
Yeah.
Does he have the mental wherewithal? Does he have the interest at this point to suck it up and come back?
That will be the question for the next decade. Because right. If his leg and back hold up, he can compete for the next 10 years. Nicholas won the Masters at 46. Julius Boros is the oldest to win a major. So 47, 48 years old. And Phil's 46. He can win a Masters. It's there. He and Phil have this innate connection to Augusta.
But you know what this feels like to me? This feels like the early 90s. The early 90s, you had Greg Norman. Right. You had,
in terms of the parody?
Well, just in terms of the fact you had a lot of no-name, stiff, not-so-interesting guys.
Yes.
And even Freddie Couples, who everybody loved. Freddie never said anything. Freddie was a good guy and a fun guy to be around, but he wasn't exactly scintillating when it came to an interview. There was no electricity there.
Right.
And you went through that weird middle 90s period where there were no electric figures.
It was Nick Price, Nick Faldo, and Greg Norman.
And that was it.
Well, and actually, I think it's closer to the 80s. That was the surge of Europe, where right now we're getting this surge of the global world of Hideki Matsuyama and Jason Day.
And a bunch of guys. Well, Jason Day and Rory. And who am I missing?
Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth.
Ricky Fowler.
That A-team of kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're fun. They're exciting, right? But you're seeing winners week to week on tour who are these no-name guys who have fantastic games. But outside of their family and Jim Nantz, maybe me, nobody cares.
What drew you guys to Tiger? Well, if you didn't...
Winning.
Just winning. The dominance of it? Was it the racial aspect? Was it his golf swing?
You know, I think it was a combination. I think it was winning. I think it was his age. I think it was having so much success at a very young age.
We love phenoms.
Yeah, he was a phenom.
Yeah, I do think that he's been desensitized by that. He never wanted... And Pete, you talked about hitting a lot of golf balls. Let me break a myth here. No one spent fewer minutes on the grounds of a PGA Tour event than Tiger Woods. He would show up with his golf shoes sometimes on, drive up, go straight to the range. He just was very efficient. He was off the golf course in a practice round. By 10 a.m., he'd play less than nine holes. He kind of grew tired of the rigmarole.
It's a grind.
It's a grind. And motivation's the number one thing. He's had four or six processes where he's done a swing overhaul or he's had a comeback from an injury.
Right.
All six of them, the comebacks have been longer, harder, and his results have been worse. So this one would suggest it's going to take even longer, and we're not going to see as much success.
There's a there's a poster of sorts. It's like one of these motivational posters. And I don't remember the specific verbiage, but it's the ultimate truth in golf for all of us, and that is the older you are, the greater your interest and the less your ability to play the game at a level you want to play it at. It's the cruelty of golf, right? Because you can play it your entire life, but when you have the most time to play and you're most fired up about it, you can't hit it as far, you can't putt as well necessarily. And Tiger now has to try to elevate his game to a level where he can compete with these 25-year-olds and these no-names at a time where his motivation's probably limited, probably, and his physical issues are at the highest. It's a tough nut.
The general question, and this can apply really to anyone at any industry, but really sports, what generates, what is the chicken or the egg here? Is it confidence leads to good play, or good play leads to confidence? And Tiger Woods, I can promise you, if he's going to be motivated, meaning going out and grinding like he used to do for 9 hours a day in South Florida and playing more events and really making this his priority, he needs to contend. He needs to smell it.
Yeah.
He needs
start
to
start feeling like you're in a game again.
Go on the back nine of a tournament on Sunday and have a chance. And then, like a drug, it will bring him back. But it won't until then.
I want to talk about what you're doing at 120 Sports when we come back, and what 120 Sports is for folks that may not even know. One of the great startup stories in sports. It's 9:23. Scott Root is a guest, and Orion will join us in a little bit, and the designer of the Lady Gaga stages. You could have him over at your house for a birthday party.
That's not the same person? Orion?
Orion?
Yes.
It is Orion. That's exactly right. That's we didn't want to do the reveal this early, but yes, it's Orion. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. Scott Rood's here. What's the best way to describe 120 Sports?
It is a national digital sports network that you can access by the app.
Right.
120
Sports. Got it in your hand all day.
Absolutely. And really, their updates, I think, are what are most effective. Fastest updates, more than any of their competitors in terms of, you know, bars and notifications.
Yeah, and customizing stuff when you want it for whatever you're interested
Absolutely. In. Absolutely. The on-demand feature is unbelievable. So we go live streaming from 8 to 1, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Central Time.
And what are you doing during those hours?
We are trying to cater mostly to the millennial, where we're trying to cover what is happening at that moment on the fly with also not compromising commentary, perspective, and analysis on all sports.
There's not a lot of time to write, though. A lot of that's got to be ad-libbing because you know what you're doing, right?
You have to know everything. You have to research as much as possible. And we have a good ensemble with different backgrounds. We have
Who are you someone, working mostly with?
We have somebody from each sport with an expertise. Tim Doyle, who is a Chicago connected as he played basketball at Northwestern. He's obviously specialized in college basketball. Antoine Walker, a Chicago sure. product, played in the sure. NBA for over a decade. He's our NBA analyst. Brian McFadden, three-time Super Bowl appearance, but two-time Super Bowl winner with the Pittsburgh Steelers, is obviously our college football and NFL analyst. I'm there for golf. We have a UFC. We have a few guys that are really into UFC, which is incredible, actually, in terms of the draw, you know, because it's all click-based, and you talk about ratings.
Well, and Andrea kicked Ronda Rousey's butt, and you know, last time Ronda Rousey yeah. was on the show, didn't like her attitude, went out and kicked her butt.
I did, yeah.
Listen, here's what we want people to do. Check out 120 Sports in between 8P and 1A. You know, you can see not just what Scott does, but what everybody there does, and carry it around on your phone. You can still listen to Justin, obviously, as well. But then get some sleep so you can get up and listen to us. Is that too much to ask?
No. As I entered here, this is my favorite radio show, and that's the problem. It's hard to wake up in time.
Well, appreciate it.
Catch your last 20
minutes.
Well,
we'll just send you the podcast, or at least help you find it. Stick around. More to come, 9:29 and 7:20 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Every week at this time, we try to find Orion Samuelson somewhere in the world. Talk to us a little bit about
morning, you'll find me in Huntley, Illinois.
Oh, welcome home.
Thank you.
Good to be back. and to talk a little bit about the people that feed us, the American farmer, and guest in studio is a fan of yours, Scott Rood.
Well, very good. Thank you, Scott.
And I saw I turned on the wrong mic there, Scott, sorry about that. I saw a story, and I was thinking of you, because I love this story, and it's about a startup founder who went from zero to being worth $15 million. He grew up on a farm in Iowa, and he says that businesses ought to think more like farmers, you know, the folks in the business world.
Right, yeah.
Here's some of the tips he gives out. Sprint, okay. Stumble, and recover. Work hard, work fast. Know you're going to fall down, but be ready to recover. All farmers have natural time efficiency because you don't have any other choice.
That's right.
You got a lot of work to do, and you don't have all the time you need to do it. Trust your vision. How true is that? Oh, every spring you better trust your vision, right?
You had better, because you've got a lot to watch, planting intentions and weather and, yeah, a lot. So you better be able to see very well.
Do more with less. That's the story of a farm.
Yes.
Right? Hire team players so the people that work with you have the same belief you do and want the same success you want.
Good point.
Risk tolerance, right? Know that it's not going to go 100% your way.
Well, there's a saying in marketing and agriculture, when times are good, they'll get bad. And when times are bad, they'll get good, because it's a cycle that we have watched in agriculture for decades, maybe even centuries, because when prices go up, farmers produce more.
Right.
That leads to downward pressure on prices, and so then they produce less.
And the last one, working together means you're never working alone. And that goes from the farmer to the market to the consumer, the whole bunch. Because I don't know too many selfish farmers that were ever a big success story.
No, because farmers, well, let's go back to the threshing runs. You know, when I was a kid in Wisconsin, we grew oats, and not every farmer could afford a threshing machine. They're now combines. And so you would probably have 14 or 15 neighbors, and the gentleman who owned the threshing machine would pull into your farm. All your neighbors would be there to help do the work that had to be done. The machine would move on to the next farmer. And that's how they shared. And probably the best thing of that whole thing was the food that the farm wives prepared at
buffet, baby.
Yeah, right.
Buffet. Well, you know, that's that to me too, though. That's a small town ethic thing too, you know, because the guy with the plow would plow everybody's driveway, you know.
Yes,
the guy that had a little bit of a handy nature more than others when it came to electricity, he'd come over to your house if you had an electrical problem. Everybody was willing to help everybody else, as opposed
Very
to shutting
true.
Your door and not even knowing the names of your neighbors.
And they would never lock the doors. You know, doors were always unlocked in the farm home.
Yeah, so. It's absolutely true.
But
that's
it's changed.
That's why I'd always go in and make some bacon. They wouldn't mind. They'd go, hey, it smells good.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to bring up to you, which I think is pretty timely, is it took the Trump folks forever to pick an ag secretary. They finally went with one, a former governor of Georgia, whose name is escaping me.
Sonny Perdue.
So we have Sonny Perdue at the head of the department, and we have Zippy Duval at the head of the biggest farm organization, the American Farm Bureau. They're both from Georgia.
Sonny and Zippy.
Zippy and Sonny.
Sonny and Zippy.
They should have a morning show. But the reason I bring it up is it was what a week or so after that the whole TPP bail came down, and the TPP news, and Orion's been preaching about this forever, trade is global. We are not the only ones on the world. And this could mean a huge hit to farmers, especially if you start throwing this 20% tax out to any deficit countries who don't sell enough of our stuff or buy enough of our stuff. Because we're talking about billions of dollars in hits to farmers.
Absolutely, because, well, I've said it over and over again, and I'll say it one more time, 95% of the world population lives outside our borders. We can produce enough to probably feed five times, six times more than we have in this country. So we have to depend on trade. And I think that we'll come around to a more sensible solution to it. But once again, he's getting our attention. And the one thing that I've not yet heard is the relationship between the secretary and the president. Will the secretary be able to convince President Trump that NAFTA is important, and that the TTPI would have been important, because I'm still waiting for somebody to show me how many jobs we lost because of trade agreements. And I've never seen a number, but everybody talks about shipping all of our jobs out of the country.
Right.
I think we're losing more jobs to robotics. If you look inside an automobile plant today, you hardly see a human being. It's robotics.
I totally agree. Totally agree. As usual, Orion is smarter than we are, and if we'd shut up and listen, we'd learn more.
That's right. Hey, oh, I want to ask you real quick. The pork industry last week said don't worry about a possible, hold on, bacon shortage. I know you were getting questions about this all week. So there, we're okay as far as the pork bellies, but is it going to cost more to buy a pound of bacon now?
Well, it'll probably cost more because what we did in December, we get the report monthly on how much we have in cold storage. And in the case of bacon, that's frozen pork bellies. And in December, the amount of frozen pork bellies or bacon in storage, the lowest number since we started keeping records on that activity in 1957. Now, shortage, no. But maybe some higher prices, yes. Thing is, in the pork industry, in 6 months, you can go from baby pig to bacon. So that's a quick turnaround. And again, as I've said many times, if the financial incentive is there, farmers will produce what we need. No, I don't think we'll have a shortage.
Before I let you go, Susanna Mushat Jones turned 116 last year. God bless her. I don't know if she's still around. But one of her staples every day was bacon.
Yes,
she had bacon every
day. I
saw
that story. Right. I'm trying to remember, was it also a shot of bourbon?
Bourbon and bacon. Yeah, bourbon. Both, by the way, are health foods.
Yes, absolutely.
Orion Samuelson, thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Always good to be with you.
We'll talk about Lady Gaga's stage coming up because we got a guy who was a designer of it coming up. And an ambulance has pulled up on Pioneer Court. Do I not look okay? Did someone call that for me?
You're a little pale.
I don't think it's an ambulance.
Actually, it's a paddy wagon, which is even funnier.
Do I not look okay? Valentine's Day is a week away. Don't wait until the last minute. A gift from Sherry's Berry shows you planned ahead and you thought about her. And women need to be thought about. That's all. Just show that you had some forethought. $19.99 plus shipping. And today, only double the berries for just $5 more. Put Steve C in for the promo code. And $5 more gets you a second box of berries. Take advantage of this deal, but do it today. These berries are tremendous. Dark chocolatey goodness. White milk chocolate as well. They're all good. And they're all will be stolen by Sandberg unless you order yours and keep an eye on them. You know, little Sandberg had like 14, 15 berries.
Yeah, she had like 15. She still looks good. She can do it. Good metabolism.
Yeah, 15 every couple of days. You better be doing yoga. Berries.com, BERRIES.com. Steve C is the promo code in the upper right-hand corner. And we've been informed now that 116-year-old Susanna Mushat Jones has died.
She died last year, but she was still the oldest living woman on record at the time. 116 years and 311 days.
Wasn't the bacon.
No, it was not.
It was not. No. Back after this on 720 WGN.
You're giving me a million reasons to let you go. You're giving me a million reasons to quit the show. You're giving me a million reasons. Give me a million reasons. Giving me a million reasons. About a million.
We've talked about how great Gaga was at the Super Bowl.
I would run for the hills.
Man, I love this song. And the drones, the amazing drone display. You know what we haven't talked about? An incredible set. An incredible set, the staging of the whole thing. So I get a text from former producer of the program, Ann Johnson. And she goes, I used to babysit a kid. His dad was my theater teacher in school. Well, that kid grew up to go to the University of Kentucky. I think this is right. And was a big part of designing the whole thing. If I have the story right, let's get James in here, who got up early in Los Angeles to explain. First off, congratulations.
Thank you.
When did you exhale?
I usually don't breathe through the entire first half of the football game, but it was actually not till after the set was off of the field. So even after the halftime show, I was still holding my breath, making sure everything gets out of the stadium all right.
Is this the All Access Staging Productions company that was tasked with doing all of this?
Yes, All Access Staging has done this Super Bowl and the previous six Super Bowl halftime shows. And I have been the lead technical designer. There's an artistic designer from another company, but we figure out how to make that artistic vision a reality.
James, the set was awesome. It was gorgeous. It was just monstrous. What did she jump into at the end?
I don't actually know. I was not actually there. We have an extraordinary team that goes with our set. But I'm based here at the office, so I am sure that she fell into something nice and comfortable at the end of that great performance.
She sold it well, though.
Oh,
she looked like she sold it like she sold the leap off the roof, which we now know, by the way, was pre-taped, but that's okay. That's okay.
She still was on the cables, though, coming from the top portion, not the roof, which is still extraordinary.
Very high, hundreds of feet high to land on a very small platform on that tower that you saw.
Yeah. So how involved is the artist in the design?
It varies from year to year. Lady Gaga was definitely extremely involved. We were actually late in beginning production on building the set because of her involvement and wanting to make sure that everything was just right. So she works with the artistic designer Bruce Rogers, and Roy Bennett were the designers this year, and then they kind of hand off the beautiful pictures to us, and we turn that around into a three-dimensional giant football-sized set.
I tweeted this out. I said, you know, she had more yardage than the Patriots, and she did it in heels dancing and singing because she's coming down steps. She's dealing with risers. There's moving pieces of the stage. In your deal, it sounds like, if I have this right, you got to get the mechanics of that right so everything's moving in sync, right?
Absolutely. And without damaging the field, we have a lot of restrictions on what we can and can't do. Everything's got to fit out the tunnel that all the players run out, and everything has to be safe for the field so that there aren't any gouges or liquids that get on the field.
And it all has to collapse, right? It all has to collapse in a way where you can get it off the field so they can start the second half.
Exactly. My big challenge this year was the giant towers that you saw. What you didn't see was that they came out laying down, and then they had to get erected so that you could have the performance and then come back down so that you could get it off the field.
That is wild.
And you have to get it off the field in a matter of, what, 2 minutes? I mean, this isn't just like, okay, we got to get it off the field.
No, time to play football.
Yeah.
Get off the field.
Yeah, it's about 7 or 8 minutes in and about the same amount out. The carts come in giant pieces. They're about 8 feet by 20 feet, most of them. Some of them bigger, some of them a little bit smaller, but on average. And I went a few years ago when Katy Perry did the halftime show, and just to see these giant pieces of scenery coming out live with literally hundreds of volunteers, well, not volunteers, but support people running with these giant carts onto the field, putting them all together. It is just amazing to see. It was really one of the highlights of my chance to go to the Super Bowl. So it's very cool.
And the drones were real, right? The drones, that wasn't green screen.
Yeah. far as I know.
Yeah. No, we're told they were real. All right, before I let you go, the one thing that scared you the most wasn't going to work of your work was what?
Just making sure those towers went up and down. That was the biggest thing. That if it didn't go up and down, it's really hard to work around that. So
a lot of
the other things, most of the stuff on there is not electronic, in, other than the lights and those things. But we have to trust in running something out and plugging it in and having it work. And so making sure those towers went up and came down was my big concern.
Very cool. Well, hi to everybody from you to all your friends and family in Woodstock.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, James. Thanks for getting up, man. I appreciate it. James Casolino. And I don't know if John Soso's in money, but, you know, now we can establish that.